Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 1. In our English versions, begins with the word therefore. And the word therefore takes us back to everything we've seen in chapter 1 of Philippians. And so remember that the Philippians with Paul, chapter 1, verse 7, are with Paul in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul is rejoicing that the gospel is being proclaimed by him, even while he's imprisoned, and by others who are not imprisoned, even while he's imprisoned. And we saw that in verses 12 through 18. And Paul has this conflict of whether he lives or dies. In either case, he'll be released from this imprisonment. This is his first Roman imprisonment. To be physically living, he says, would be beneficial for the Philippians and others. To physically die and to be with Christ, he said in verse 23, is very much better. And as the Philippians are with Paul, involved in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, he says that they suffer, verse 29, and therefore have the same conflict in them that's in Paul, whether to continue living physically or whether to die and go to heaven now would be better. They have the same conflict as Paul. So, therefore, is talking about that conflict and about the preaching of the gospel and being set for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. So therefore, and then we have some conditions here, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, those conditions are not a question about whether those things are true in Christ. They are true in Christ. The question is whether the Philippians and other believers, but in this case the Philippians, whether the Philippians are experiencing those conditions. Are the Philippians experiencing encouragement in Christ? That's the question. We know there is encouragement in Christ, but are you experiencing it? Second condition, if there is any consolation of love, and that's agape, love, the love of God, is there consolation for us in the love of God? Well, of course there is. The question here is, are the Philippians experiencing that consolation of God's love? It's always true as believers that the Lord loves us. But there's the question, do you moment by moment believe that? Do you moment by moment know that? Notice I didn't ask, do you moment by moment feel that? Because that doesn't make any difference at all. But do you believe it? And do you know it? And in believing it and knowing it, there is the experience of consolation, of love. So the third condition, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship of the Spirit. That is very likely a reference to the Holy Spirit. Probably most of our versions have the S capitalized on that word. Is the Holy Spirit in us? Yes. Is there fellowship in the body of Christ because of the Holy Spirit? Yes. That's not the question, but the question is, are the Philippians experiencing Spirit-generated, Spirit-controlled fellowship? The fourth condition, if any affection and compassion. Affection is splotka, and that's that word that has to do with your gut. Gut compassion is the idea, and so it's translated affection and compassion is compassion toward one another. So is this in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, that's Holy Spirit produced. But the question again is, are the Philippians experiencing affection and compassion for one another? We could probably even say, and for Paul. So those conditions. Now, Paul goes on in verse 2 in this sentence to say, if those conditions are true, then, verse 2, make my joy complete. Quite literally, fill up my joy. Make my joy complete. So Paul's joy will be complete on the basis of they have encouragement in Christ, consolation of God's love, fellowship of the Spirit, affection and compassion for one another. On the basis of that, Paul says, make my joy complete. So that's the basis. The method, how can the Philippians make Paul's joy complete? And he answers that in the rest of verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. By being of the same mind. We could even say by being of the same thinking. Pronete is the word, thinking. But mind is not a bad translation. By being of the same mind. So make Paul's joy complete by being of the same mind. Second method, make Paul's joy complete by maintaining the same love, or by having or keeping, maintaining the same love. That same love would be love that is the same for one another. The same love. And from verse 1, that's obviously the love of God that's being shared among themselves. So make Paul's joy complete by being of the same mind, thinking the same way. make his joy complete by maintaining the same love, loving everyone in the body with the love of God. Make Paul's joy complete, third method in verse 2, by being united in spirit. Now, united in spirit, that's three words in English. It's one word in Greek. Sumsukoi. We could say spirited with. Would be a very wooden rendering. United in spirit. Spirited with. So the word spirit there in verse 2 is a small s. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's your human spirit, which is, by the way, not different from your mind. They are the same. So being of the same mind and united in spirit are practically the same thing. Really, united in spirit, having our spirits knit together as one. So, make my joy complete by, first method, being of the same mind. Second method, maintaining the same love. Third method, by being united in spirit. And fourth method, by being intent on one purpose. By being intent on one purpose. And the word for purpose is a different form of the word that's translated mind earlier in the verse, or thinking, intent on one purpose. We could say thinking together all with one goal is the idea. Now, the one purpose. And this flows out of the word therefore in verse 1. So it also flows out of chapter 1. The one purpose is the gospel. Right? That's what the context bears out. The defense, the confirmation, the proclamation of the gospel. Paul says that's the one purpose. Now, of course, there are more purposes for the church in this age. And our great purpose is always doxological. It's always to glorify God. The glory of God is always our great purpose. And there are others. But here's Paul's point. There's one purpose for the church in this age now that we can only do now. When the church is raptured and glorified, will we be able to glorify God then? Oh, yeah, even more fully than we do now. But when the church is raptured and glorified, will we be able to preach the gospel to the lost? No. The only time we can do that is now. And that's the one purpose Paul's talking about. So Paul's saying his joy, and remember, he's rejoicing back in chapter 1, verse 18, because the gospel is being preached. So now he's saying, I want my joy to be complete, to be filled up. And how will that be? By the church being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and being intent on this one purpose. That is a directive and a challenge, of course, to the Philippians, but it is to every church, and it is to all relationships in the body of Christ. And so you should ask, is our church of the same mind? Is our church maintaining the same love? Is our church united in spirit? Is our church intent on one purpose? That's what Paul's saying the Philippians should be, and that's how we should apply that for ourselves. And it is a challenge, because I dare say we could probably not answer yes to those questions for our church. Yeah. Now, verse 3. How do we go about carrying out those methods, being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose? How do we do that? How can we be that better than we are? How can we do that? Okay. Verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Don't do anything in your personal relationships in the body of Christ. Don't do anything in the church from selfishness. By the way, selfishness is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. Selfishness or empty conceit. Empty conceit. Yeah, the idea is kind of false self-glorification. Part of that word for empty conceit, which is also just one Greek word, kenodoxion. Doxion is related to the same word for glory. And keno kind of negates that. So empty glory. Don't do anything out of selfishness or empty or vain self-glorification, we might say. So, if somebody wants credit, they want to be recognized, they want to get their way, they are not doing the methods of verse 2. They want what they want. They want to get their way. They want the credit. They want to be recognized. No, don't do it from selfishness or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Humility of mind. Humble thinking. Now, the humility of mind that Paul's talking about here, and by the way, humility, of course, it's not self-glorification, but neither is it self-denigration. Humility isn't putting yourself down. Humility is thinking about yourself rightly and accurately. And so you think accurately about yourself for what purpose in verse 3? With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Now, one another includes everybody. Everybody in the church. And could it be that there are some one another's that other people don't think are very important, or think that what they think is very important? So what is verse 3 saying? Even the one that you consider to be the most insignificant, the one that you would say, I would never go to that person for advice, but you here in humility are to regard that person who is a one another, regard that person as more important than yourself. The sentence continues in verse 4. Do not look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And if you regard the interests of others as more important than your own, what does that say about how you should consider your own opinions? You should consider your own opinions as to be not as valuable and important as other people's. Don't look out for your own personal interests. Don't be just trying to get your way and get what you want or get what you think is right or get it the way you think it ought to be done. But how do others think about that and put that ahead of yours? There are huge implications of this for church life, as well as for everybody's personal lives, but huge implications of this. You know, if somebody says, well, I don't like that style of music. Okay, does that make them right? Does that make them authoritative? Does that mean they should get their way? Not necessarily. I don't like this. I don't like that. You know? And we're long past the day now when those issues are minor. Now those things are just keeping people away from the fellowship by the hundreds. I don't like this. I don't like this. You know, I don't like that church starts at 10 o'clock. I liked it better when it started at 9:30. Okay. So what? I'm not going to come anymore? You know, those kinds of divisions, arguments, disagreements, all that kind of thing. Paul's saying in this passage, I don't get any joy out of that at all. We could say it this way. Paul's saying, I don't get any joy out of church business decisions. My joy comes when the church is united in preaching the gospel. That's it. Say, well, but I have lots of feelings and my traditions growing up were this and whatever. And Paul says, you know what? none of that matters. Give it up. Don't look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And the way you do this is in Christ. Verse 5. Have this attitude. Again, it's the word mind or thinking. I could almost wish they didn't translate it attitude. But have this thinking in yourselves, this mind in yourselves. I do believe King James Version says mind there, which was also in Christ Jesus. So have the mind of Christ in this matter. Now, all believers do have the mind of Christ for the purpose of understanding the Word of God and spiritual things. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the mind of Christ in relationship to humility. He called it humility of mind in verse 3. Have this mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself. And we'll save that for next time, but I think you can see the mind or the attitude, the thinking of Jesus that Paul's talking about, that we're supposed to think like, is humility. And Jesus, in His humility, laid aside all of His prerogatives to the independent use of His divine attributes. So we'll come back to that next time, but that's humility. Paul's point then is, in the body of Christ, in order to be united in the proclamation of the gospel as a church, we have to be as humble as Jesus, because it was the humility of Jesus that gave us the gospel, which is what the rest of the passage down through verse 11 tells us. So we'll stop there for tonight, but I hope there are many good questions to consider and things to pray about as we pray for our church this evening. Heavenly Father, I do pray tonight that the people of this church would experience encouragement in Christ, consolation of your love, believing you for it, knowing you in it. I pray that this church would experience fellowship of the Holy Spirit among one another, and affection and compassion toward one another. I pray, Lord, that the people of this church would be of the same mind, have the same love, be united in spirit, and all intent on one purpose, the proclamation of the gospel. Lord, may everyone empty themselves of selfishness, conceit, personal self-interest, and may everyone be filled with humility, the humility of Christ, that Christ may be exalted. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.